Bowman.
It's 4 o'clock on Thursday. Today's October the 11th. It's actually 72 degrees. I'm in just as much shock as everyone else is. Time for Sports Talk Live and your hosts, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. What about it, Jason?
I'm telling you, hey, it now.
What about this weather, baby?
Halfway feels like football season.
Halfway of football season. And you'll be glad when it's over.
No, it halfway feels like football
season.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Halfway through the season.
I apologize. I thought you were excited that it was that half the football season was over.
I am.
You are, too.
It was all over.
And as
it
much
is
as
over for Auburn.
As much as I hate to dedicate this to all of our fellow Auburn fans, it's time.
Oh, come on, Jay. It's not that bad.
I don't know, Jason. Sure seemed like it.
Jay, come on now. You sit around all morning this morning wanting to figure out something to get me going.
Oh, yeah. First thing I told Ronnie when he walked through the door.
Don't tell me that. Let me just ask you this. Has Eddie given you a hard time, or is Eddie tied up with
him? It's funny you should mention that name. I haven't heard from him until day before yesterday, I think, and his first text to me the entire football season, and I got a text that just said $49 million. So, and I want to preach a sermon on that in a little bit.
Jay, you have to
use your help in here.
All right, you can. You have plenty of reason to preach a sermon after last Saturday.
Oh yeah,
and yep. I'm not here to pile on, but I'm telling you, that was ugly with all caps.
How about this, Auburn?
It's not on the board anymore.
Don't have a password anymore. Auburn, with the offensive guru, Gus Malzahn, is the head coach and has been known for offense his entire coaching career.
Yeah.
And now are sitting at 99 out of 129 teams in total offense.
And last week was as bad as, well, I think it was the worst.
Goodness, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you are. It is a good thing you didn't, because you'd have had taken an extra. You probably had taken another a nitroglycerin pill.
Oh yeah, I got some in my face out there after I had that heart attack.
I know. You would need one. It was bad. And I'm not saying because I'm an Alabama fan. I tried to watch
it. Keeping up with the score on my phone.
Listen, it was bad in every phase. Now I wouldn't completely throw the defense under the bus.
No,
not
they're
at
out
all.
There 42 minutes.
That's exactly right.
42 minutes.
They're out there all night long, and in the second half, you know, Fitzpatrick, their Mississippi State's quarterback, took over the game. It was nothing fancy. They snapped it to him, and he took off running with it. I mean, that's essentially it. But you're right. The defense is out there all night long. The offense is giving them no help, none whatsoever. And as you said, you've got a guru there, supposedly an offensive guru, who – I know people
give you some things to think about.
People begin to question it, even the past when they talked about, and I'm not throwing off on this kid because it's a kid, when all you heard was Jeremy Johnson, and my gosh, at one time they had deemed him, you know, the next Heisman winner.
He was the Heisman favorite going into that following season.
Yeah, and that wasn't just ESPN and SEC reporters. That was, I mean, Gus was building this kid up to high heavens. And God bless the kid's soul, but I mean he just fell apart.
But you know, let me be Gus representative, and I'm not. Let me say that I'm not on the Gus bus, but I'm not.
I didn't know there was still a Gus bus. I saw it burning live on Facebook.
But what kills me, Ronnie, and you've been in coaching, you know. How it is, if you're winning, you're the best thing since sliced bread.
But no question.
If you're losing, you don't know anything. You're the same
coach.
You
become the worst. That's right.
But it's just whether you got the W's or the L's. And the first thing, every time Auburn loses that second game, start with the first game, but Auburn loses the second game, the first thing you're going to hear, it don't matter who's coaching, we've got to get rid of him. They've got a GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
And they've got $5 in it, and they only need $31,995,000.
Just a little.
No. $999,995. They've got $5 in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Gus is the coach and does share, should get some of the responsibility, but he can't catch the ball. He can't throw it. He can't hold on to the ball.
No, I mean.
And they've been screaming, Gus needs to get rid of the offense. Get rid of the offense. He says his hands have been removed from it. Chip Lindsey's the offensive coordinator now.
Then why? Okay, if his hands have been removed from it, and I know, I think you'd feel the same way. If his hands have been removed and he's no longer in charge of it, why do you need a head Gus as a head coach?
I don't know.
And why would you extend? Why would you extend a contract and give him a ginormous buyout?
That's what the tale is.
When he's not in charge of it, I mean,
I don't know.
Let's just say this: it's dysfunctional down there
right
now. Oh
yeah,
And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Stidham had receivers, from what I'm told, wide open and
overthrew them. 5 to 8 to 10
Now, I'm wondering on him if the surgery over the summer might have affected his throwing. So.
But, you know, Jason, everybody can sit and talk about it. Well, it's this, it's that, it's this reason, it's that reason, it's this player, it's those players, it's this coach or that coach. Here's where the bottom line, and you know as well as I do, it starts with those five guys across the front.
And we're bad.
And you're bad. And when you're going to be bad up front, you're going to be bad, period.
Right.
I don't care how you slice it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what level of football. It can be junior high, middle school, high school, college, pro. It matters not. If you're not good up front and you can't be dominant up front and you can't control the line of the scrimmage, you're going to get spanked.
And I think that's one reason
and that's
was over throwing the ball. He was expecting to be throwing from his back. So, I mean,
well,
he threw so many passes from laying on the back.
Yeah, maybe be better.
All right. Hey. Chris, my main man from Vegas Town, the town that never sleeps.
That's it.
Hey, Chris, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Great to be with you guys this week. I'll tell you, I missed you guys last couple weeks.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to hear your voice, Chris, man. We are thrilled that you're back with us.
Well, believe me, I'm thrilled to be above ground right now.
Hey.
So thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, Chris, take it easy on Jason now. He's kind of bruised in there. So.
Well,
you said they played taps for Jason. I'm glad you didn't play taps for me so Jason could recover.
Hey, Chris, before we even get started, they're giving me a hard time, but let me tell you what I told Ronnie the other night. We actually went to a concert, and I kept up with the score on my phone, and I told my wife after, I said, I think you need to take me and get me checked, because, first of all, I didn't complain about not watching the Auburn game, and second, I was amazed at how really unaffected I was that Auburn was getting beat and got beat. I mean,
you've learned to accept it.
Yeah.
You're mellowing in your old age, Jason.
Right.
That's actually a good thing I've found out.
But, you know, I have found out, Chris, in my old days, there's bigger things for me to worry about than Auburn football.
Oh, amen. Amen.
And we have some things going on in our family life and personal life right now that makes football look miniature. So I'm going to spend my time worrying about the things I can control.
That's
I can't
right.
control Auburn football. So it did cost me a good bit of money.
$7 million to control that for you. I know that's a different subject we might get to later, but, it's not up to Jason Spiegel.
Oh.
Hey, Chris, since we're talking about Auburn, let's go ahead and kick it off and get started with them. My Auburn Tigers have taken great strides to be a terrible offensive football team this year. They now rank 99th out of 129 in total offense. In your opinion, is this offense bad enough that without improvement, Chip Lindsey will be hunting a job at the end of this season? And what problems do you see?
Well, if you remember that very first game against Washington, and they won, and they beat a very good opponent, they didn't look great in doing it, but once again, they beat a team that a lot of people thought was going to be very, very good this year, and I thought they were going to be very, very good too. But one of the things we said in that game was that they didn't control the line of scrimmage at all, and that was supposed to be one of the things where like Washington had a weakness, and it was up to Auburn to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They did not do that, and that was one of those things where we could look back now and say that should have been a sign for us, I guess maybe it was for some of us. I really didn't look into it that much, but it was something that I had talked about. And I think we looked at the stats afterwards from ESPN, and they had quarterback hurries, and they had for Washington zero. And I remember thinking, well, I don't know what game they were watching. It seemed like a lot more than zero to me, right. So I don't know. You know, but that was, you know, just one of those things where I think had we paid a little closer attention to that, that would have been something that, that showed. And listen, we could talk about all kinds of, you know, stats and everything and, you know, read option plays and all that other stuff. But it still comes down to blocking and tackling and at the line of scrimmage. And that's one of those things that, you know, I think Stidham was, you know, shown to be, you know, kind of on the run a little bit. And, you know, I don't think they ever really quite got their feet under him, you know, all year at the line of scrimmage.
No, it's been Terrell Rennie. I talked about that before we got started. He brought it up, and I agree. Man, Auburn's offensive line, I don't think they could block me, you, and Rennie. So.
It's bad, and I say it's bad, and I don't want to throw off on a school or an individual kid, but it's either the center or I think the right guard, I'm not sure. He is a transfer, and he was a starting offensive lineman last year at the University of Massachusetts. Now, I'm not throwing off on the University of Massachusetts. However, when a kid comes as an offensive lineman from the University of Massachusetts and he's starting at a should be a power SEC football team, you got some problems up front. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Well, listen, you don't have to apologize. I mean, the facts are the facts. I mean, unless you were like the greatest lineman in the history of the University of Massachusetts, I mean, that's one level of football. And, you know, the SEC is a different level of football.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just look up and down NFL rosters. And there's some kids that make it from a school like, you know, Massachusetts or Western Michigan or, you know, schools like that. But, I mean, it's those rosters are dotted with guys from the SEC. It's just a whole different level of
play. Right. Hey, I want to throw this out. This is something that I've heard recently, and some of the guys at work, we've talked about it. And, Chris, you may can tell me whether this is legal or not legal. I don't know. But Jason mentioned earlier, and even in this, his question was about Chip Lindsey. Is he going to be hunting another job? Here's something I have heard. Next year, Auburn has a kid coming from Pinson Valley High School here in the Birmingham area, and he is Nix. His last name is Nix, five-star recruit quarterback from Pinson Valley. Good player.
Yeah.
His dad was Patrick Nix, who was a starting quarterback at Auburn. I have heard it tossed around that Chip Lindsey may be gone, and they may move Patrick Nix, who has college experience as being an OC, that he may come
to
Auburn.
Let's go for it.
I have heard that. I don't know, you know, again, that just may be guys talking around the lunch table, but I have heard that thrown out.
Well, you know, we don't get all the top recruiting news
right
like you guys do here, but I have heard of this Nix kid.
Yes,
you know, and I heard he's really good. You know, I don't know. I can't go any further than that. But Patrick Nix, boy, I remember that. That's got to be about 30 years ago that he was the.
It's been a long time.
Quarterback.
It's been a long time, and he was a good one. And
yeah.
And he coached. You know, he was you know, OC at some college with some college programs,
fact,
and then took a high school job.
He probably got more experience than Lindsey's.
He probably does. He probably does. So that's just something that, you know, I heard. Chris, do you know, is there any kind of NCAA rule against that, you know, a kid is signing with Auburn and they want to hire his dad as a coach? Is there
any? Well, I know there definitely is not in basketball.
Right.
I can tell you that, because that happens pretty often.
I don't think so.
I would think that if it applies to one, it applies to the other. So I would say that, you know, it's probably okay. I'm kind of with Jason. If you want,
yeah,
I'd go that route. You know, let's get this kid in, and listen, if he's a little the dad I'm talking about,
right?
If he needs a little bit of help along, you know, making offensive game plans, listen, that's why I'm paying Gus Malzahn $7 million a year.
Right. Amen.
You know, let him contribute a little bit, you know.
Absolutely.
And think about how Gus got his start. He was a high school coach that went to Arkansas, so
absolutely,
with a quarterback.
Yeah.
So.
And that's
– was that Mustaine? Was that his quarterback?
Yeah.
Mitch Mustaine.
Mitch Mustaine, that's right. And that's what – and, you know, it just fell right for Gus last year to get this big contract because he beat Georgia and he beat Alabama.
Yeah.
And then the Arkansas job was available, and they were trying to keep him.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it hit perfect for him. He won the lottery. Chris, here's another thing. Talking about the offensive lineman, I'll throw this out and then go on to get the question so we can get you on your way. But I was told today that Auburn the past year had recruited and I think signed six offensive linemen, Alabama and LSU, 14 offensive linemen. So if you're signing six or eight offensive linemen, you miss on one or two, you've got problems.
I did not know that.
Yeah, six.
Well, I didn't know that either. Jeez. Yeah.
Alabama and LSU both signed twice the number Auburn did.
I being a Penn State fan, I've followed their recruiting a little closer than others. And, when they were struggling to get back to where they are now after what happened with Sandusky, one of the big problems was they just didn't have any depth whatsoever on the offensive line. And Franklin made a point to go out and get those guys,
You got
to
have them.
You watch football every week. These kids getting hurt, and you got to shuttle them in and out of the lineup to keep them fresh during the course of the game. And Penn State right now, great offense for sure.
Right.
But, you got to have those linemen. We talked about it earlier in the show, and it's, there's all kind of stuff, read option, et cetera, and throwing the ball. But, boy, if you're not winning the battle at the line of scrimmage, you ain't going to win a whole bunch of games.
That's it.
For sure.
Chris, looking at the remaining Auburn games, how many games do you see now as Auburn being the underdog?
Well, I looked at that, Jason. I still only see two games that are going to be the underdog, and that's at Georgia and at Alabama. Otherwise, I know it's been a disappointing year for Auburn fans who really thought they'd be in the national hunt, and I thought they would be too, but that's still like a pretty good team. Let's not go crazy and downgrade them too much. But at Georgia, they figured to be a dog at Georgia no matter what. And of course, at Alabama, they figured, almost every year to be a dog at Alabama. But, that's the only two games I see them being underdogs.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Hey, Chris, I'm going to flip the switch right here and talk about Alabama for a few minutes. Hey, Alabama, as everybody knows that watches football, they're putting up huge numbers. I think they're number four in total offense, and I think they're number one at 56 points a game in scoring offense. What I'm wondering is, if you compare these to, some of the best offenses out there at any point in time, in the history of college football that we, can remember, how do you think Alabama stacks up against the very best?
Well, I think they stack up really well. And, I know we haven't talked for a couple weeks. It came out. Somebody asked me. I have this formula that I use to help create my power ratings. Now, I don't just get married to it,
Right.
But it's a formula. It's definitely, A plus B divided by C, whatever. And the Charlie Ward's Florida State team always ranked number one according to this formula. But this year Alabama's passed them up. Not just offense, but the whole team. But a big part of that is the offense, because really the defense, showing a few cracks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't go crazy over it. Again, they give up I just brought up their schedule. Hey. They give up 23 to A&M.
They give up 31 last week. Yeah.
I think I'd kind of throw out that 31, to be honest with you. The 23 against A&M, I think probably a little bit more significant. I think they really probably fell asleep a little bit against Arkansas, and I think Nick probably been working on that defense all week. I think that's a little bit more of an aberration. But really, if you're going to look to see, the overall rating that has Alabama rated quite that high, it's got to be mostly the offense. And, Tua's done a great job. I've heard guys say he's in the conversation being one of the great college quarterbacks of all time. He's only on, about his sixth or seventh start,
something like that.
So I think we might be jumping a gun a little bit there. Still, his production's been incredible. And, this is a great, great team. And, anybody can get beat. you know, but it's going to take some beating for sure. That's, you know, going to take something.
Yeah, and his numbers are off the charts already. And he has, I don't think there's been a game yet. I may be wrong. I don't think there's been a game yet he's even played in the fourth quarter.
I don't think he has either. And actually, somebody on one of the shows brought that up this morning.
Yeah.
Is that going to hurt him in the Heisman? You know, and I mean, it might. I'm sure Nick got other things in mind besides putting him up there for the Heisman. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't play him into the fourth quarter either unless you had to. And, you know, it's coming up some, you know, pretty tough parts of the schedule. You know, you got, you know, the Auburn game, of course. Mississippi State, I don't think it's going to be a pushover. LSU won't be a pushover.
Right.
And, you know, whoever you play in the SEC championship game. So, you know, that's probably going to change. But, you know, yeah, I wouldn't risk the kid getting hurt right now.
No. And something I heard the other day, and I don't have the numbers, but it is a phenomenal stat that he almost has as many touchdown passes as he has incomplete passes. Not interceptions, but he's got almost as many touchdowns as he does incompletions. So
well, that's pretty unbelievable, but I hate to say I actually do believe it.
Yeah, I mean, he's gifted, there's no question. But, hey, talking about quarterbacks in Alabama, what's your thoughts on Jalen and, you know, him hanging around Tuscaloosa this year when, you know, he could have bailed, he stayed? Do you think he stays next year, or do you think he goes somewhere else? And is quarterback really where he can be best served, you know, going forward?
Well, I think if I were Jalen, I would really say he's got to decide what he wants to be. Now, does he want to go to the pros? If he does, I don't think quarterback's going to be his position. And if he does want to switch positions, then I think he should probably stay at Alabama and have a heart-to-heart with Saban and say, listen, I'd love to play wide receiver or tight end or, you know, whatever you want to put me at. But, you know, I think I would best serve, you know, for my own purposes, being in another position. Now, if he still wants to play quarterback, boy, there's a lot of teams in the country that would love to have Jalen Hurts.
That's right.
I can tell you that.
And he is he's much improved over last year.
Yeah.
His ability to throw the football.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, much improved.
Yeah, this kid, I mean, listen, I don't know, but he seemed like he worked really hard in the offseason. And, listen, I think he could still be a tremendous college quarterback. Now, sometimes you don't need that much to get, you know, he's shown his athletic ability.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't need to switch positions in college. He'll just say, you know what, I'll switch when I get to the pros.
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, maybe that's the way it works out. But, you know, I think you have to look at him. And I think we've talked to him before. You know, his dad's been very involved in his life, which I think is a huge plus for a kid like that. And, you know, I think he just talks it over with his family, talk it over with Coach Saban, and figure out where to go from there. But, you know, I think those are his two best options, either stay at Bama and switch positions or switch schools and stay at quarterback.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Chris, let's move away from the state of Alabama and the world's other football going on and take a look around the country. To this point in the season, I'm going to give you a category, and you just tell me a team that pops in your mind when I name the category. Biggest surprise team. Now, this is to
the
good side.
I know what he's going to say.
You do?
I do.
Let's just see if you're right.
I'll bet you he's
wrong. Hang on, wait a minute, Chris. I'm going to write it down.
He's writing it down.
Writing it down?
Okay.
Now,
give it to us.
You got a picture of this, Ronnie? You got a picture?
Yeah, I've got it.
Colorado, 5-0.
Nope, he's wrong.
No.
I didn't think he'd have that one.
I didn't have it. I had Buffalo.
See, that's not a surprise to me. I told you guys in the beginning of the year that was my surprise to the rest of the world. I wasn't that surprised. The world's going to be surprised.
Yeah, they're 5-1.
That is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Colorado,
I don't think they'd be
okay.
quite that good. But Ronnie, if you remember me joking, wait till they play Auburn in one of the bowl games.
Exactly.
We don't want to see that.
Oh, man.
No, not Colorado. Buffalo. Because, like I said, I wasn't that surprised. I thought they were pretty good. But I think Colorado, I thought they'd have 4 or 5 wins all year. And here they are sitting 5-0. Got a big game against USC this week. And, you know, I think it's a pretty darn good team. Not so bad.
And who's Chris, who is their head coach? I can see his face, but I can't think. That's okay.
I can't remember.
But has he been there a while?
I think this is his third or fourth year.
Okay. So he's been there long enough to, you know, kind of get his fingerprint on the program and do it his way. And so he must be doing something right for sure.
Well, he had a pretty good year last year, but he really lost a lot. And, I just thought they'd be down. Like I said, I put their season win total at either 4 or 5. I can't remember.
Yeah. Wow.
And, I remember thinking, well, if they could win 5 games, that'd be a pretty good year considering all the rebuilding. Well, obviously they got 5 in their pocket already. So, a pretty good team. And I think they'll wind up in a decent bowl game. Not bad.
Yeah, good for them.
All right, Chris, the biggest disappointment of the season to this point.
Well, I got two, and take your pick, Nebraska or UCLA.
Right.
They're both 0-5.
Yeah. Yep.
Both of those are good picks.
Boy, I really, I talked about Colorado season wins. I put it 5. I put Nebraska at 6 or 6.5. It's always tough, rebuilding and. But I really love the job that Scott Frost had done.
Right.
Both of them, new coaches, going to be their savior.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I thought he'd come in and have some success. And, you always get attrition, kids that leave the team after seeing a new coach and all that. But, boy, I never dreamt they'd be 0-5. I thought maybe 2-3 at this point or 3-2, something like that. And then UCLA, Chip Kelly, is it that hard to remember how great he was at Oregon?
Gosh.
He did a great, great job. And that wasn't exactly always the greatest football school in the world,
right.
I can tell you that. And, like I said, I try to follow the recruiting as much as I can. There's like 2 or 3 Division I athletes come out of the whole state of Oregon every year. I mean, it's almost like nothing.
Right.
So he had to go into California even at that time, and Texas, and Washington actually produces a lot of players. So I thought, being in UCLA, I don't know if you've ever been on the UCLA campus. Let me just say, there's some very good sights to behold down there.
Yeah, I've been
recruiting.
In front of it.
recruiting shouldn't be all that tough, I would say. But, I can't believe he's 0-5. But here he is. I mean, he's a well-deserved 0-5. They have not been good at all.
Yeah, they've not only got beat, but they've got beat ugly fashion part of the time.
Hey Chris, what's the talk out that way about the situation at USC? I know you're not a huge fan of, and I can't even think of the guy's name. It's a head coach.
Helton.
Yes. He was a backup quarterback at Auburn. Is there any talk out there about him? Because they haven't set the woods on fire.
Oh, there's a lot of talk, yeah. My boss has his master's degree from USC, so... he'd been grumbling pretty good for really the last couple of years. And, Lynn Swann is the AD there now, and he did not hire Helton. And I think right now, he showed a little bit of improvement from his first year to like his second year, but he really hasn't shown much since then. And these guys are supposed to grow into their jobs a little bit, and he really has not. I think he has a pretty decent array of talent. But, talent is necessary, but it only takes you so far.
Right.
And I think right now, I think we could be seeing the last of Helton as their head coach.
And wouldn't that be again, out on the West Coast, what better school to lead in recruiting being the University of, Southern California? I mean, it just seems like they should be a little, notch above basically everybody else.
They really should be, and I talked about the sightseeing on the UCLA campus. I heard the sightseeing at USC is even better. I haven't spent any time on that campus. But, they have obviously a great football tradition.
Right.
And seems like any coach on the West Coast, if that's where you want to coach, you should certainly apply for that job and do well. But they've made some big mistakes over the years. They interviewed Chris Peterson for the job this last time and chose Helton over Peterson.
Wow.
Remember, I shouldn't say it, they chose Sarkisian okay. over Peterson. Right. And, I mean, that was, you know, I mean, almost everybody that knew anything about football said, are they out of their minds? Are they crazy?
I agree.
And, yeah, I guess they were crazy, you know. So they've made some pretty big mistakes where they shouldn't have had to. I mean, sometimes you got to make a reach, and I understand that. That's what happens, but USC should not be in that category where they got to make a reach.
Right.
All right, Chris, team with the best chance to beat Alabama, not necessarily on their schedule, but just the team that you see with the best chance.
Well, I think Ohio State is the team that I would pick that has the best chance to beat them. And, you know, this is a little bit different of an Ohio State team. They throw the ball a little bit better than they have in the past. One of the big keys, I think, would be getting that Bosa kid healthy again, because that defensive line, you know, I don't know if it's the best in the country, but with Bosa in there, it's right there. And I know Clemson's gotten a lot of publicity by being a great defensive line, too. But I think right there, and listen, you got to respect Urban Meyer. I think he's probably the second best coach in college football right now. And, you know, regardless of some of his, you know, personal and off-the-field decisions, you know, you get into a tight football game, and Urban is definitely one of those guys you want on your sidelines. So I think that's the team with the best chance of beating Alabama.
Okay. The team with the best chance to be number five and the first team out looking in.
Well, you know, I thought about this one, and I hate to say, but I think it's Clemson.
Hmm.
I think right now, I think Bama's, you know, almost in, you know,
right.
Almost. I think Notre Dame, yep. If they run the table. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I'm not a Notre Dame fan at all. I would always say, yeah, they could be 8-4. Guys,
they want them in. Yeah.
Championship.
Sound like another team I know.
Anyway, they'll be favored the rest of the way. But I think, you know, they're actually a pretty good team. This isn't like that Bama team that got, or this isn't that Notre Dame team that got crushed by Bama a couple years back. Pretty good Notre Dame team. I think they're favored to be in. I think Ohio State highly likely to get in. They snuck by that Penn State game, which still rubs me raw. But nonetheless,
absolutely.
They did win that game, and you know they're going to be in a great shape to win. So that's three of the four. Now, who's the fourth team? I got to tell you, if Georgia makes, even if they lose in the SEC championship, as long as they make a good showing of themselves, I still think they'll get voted in. You know, I think they've looked good enough where they probably deserve it. And, you know, we talked about the disappointing teams. You know, I thought about, well, I didn't want to throw Clemson in there because there's a lot of other disappointing teams. But they've been a little disappointing this year. You know, they haven't been great. They've been really good. But the rest of that conference is, you know, not very good at all, where I thought it was really making some real strides. But, you know, Virginia Tech showed that they aren't all that good. Florida State for sure isn't that good.
Right.
I don't think Miami's all that good. You know, NC State's having a pretty good year. But come on, I mean, NC State, what are they, 5 or 6-0, something like that? You know, I'm not sure that's going to, you know, make a lot of noise as far as raising up the profile of your conference. So I think right now, I think there's a pretty good shot Clemson gets left out. And I know if I were Dabo Swinney, I'd be going nuts. But I think...
Oh, he will be.
He will be. But I think that's the team that I would think has a pretty good shot of getting left out.
Hey, Chris, let me throw this out at you. And I agree with everything you just said. Here's a hypothetical. Clemson runs the table. They're undefeated, okay? Alabama, Georgia both get to the championship game. One of them loses with one loss. Could two SEC teams, Alabama or Georgia, with a loss in the SEC championship game, knock out Clemson that is undefeated and wins the ACC? Is that scenario possible?
Yeah, I did. That's what I think
that's
is exactly what's going to happen.
Not unless it's Alabama. Yeah. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Alabama gets the ticket.
That's really what I think is going to happen. Like I said, I think Clemson is just a little bit disappointing this year. And, you know, I know they had the quarterback issue. And, but nonetheless, I don't see them as being a great, great team this year. Now, I'll tell you what, you know, as good as they are, they could have a chance to beat anybody in the country, including Alabama.
Right.
But I think when we boil it down and we want to pick the four best teams, and really is Georgia going to sneak in there ahead of, well, like I said, if it comes down to that.
Right.
You know, but I think that Georgia's just a better team.
I agree.
You know,
right.
Here's going to be news.
You know, we'll see.
You can write this down, Chris. Write this down in Vegas. You're not going to have to worry about that situation because Georgia will lose one before the SEC championship.
You think?
Okay. Yep. That's all.
I don't know who
story.
It's going to be, but I think they're going to lose one this season. Yep.
Okay. Then that would take care of it.
Very interesting.
All right. Last one of these before we move on. The team with the best chance to play Alabama in the finals.
Well, I'm going to, you know, go back to who I said earlier had the best chance to beat them, and that's Ohio State, who I think has the best chance to play them in the finals. I think, if everything stays the way it is, they'll be ranked 1-2, so they'll be on the opposite side of the bracket. So I think they have the best chance of actually playing Bama in that final game. So
okay.
That's
my last question, Chris. We kind of hit on this. I'm going to make it real fast. Concerning the $7 million man, Gus Malzahn. I'm not on the Gus bus, but I'm not going to scream fire.
You sound a little bitter, Jason. I got to tell you.
He used to drive the bus.
It's contagious. He got it from me because I was bitter all week. So,
you know, Chris, the coaches don't. Score any points. They don't make any tackles. Their job is to put the players in a position to make the plays, which Auburn did not do all night Saturday night. But just give us your thoughts on Gus. I mean, you think time has caught up with him and people
Jason,
see he's not the coach we thought?
I mean, the plays were so close. I mean, I realize you didn't get to watch the game that you listened to it, but, I mean, there were so many so close moments that you screamed at the TV.
I really did.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, you know, almost every coach, you know, we always go through this. Almost everybody hates their coach. You know what I mean? And it's hard to make hay with it. And one of the things I know I've said on your show, and I say it to a lot of people, everybody sounds great on the way in. They don't sound so great on the way out. And, you know, there's... me being a Penn State guy, I think James Franklin has done an incredible job. Now, I still get guys saying, well, he's a slime ball, he's this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I get that, you know, but he's our slime ball, you know, so I'm all for it. You know, I think Gus, like almost every coach in America, and that goes to, you know, the NFL, college, I mean, they have flaws. They're not perfect. You know, they do a pretty good job most of the time, but, you know, Gus still has won an awful lot of games in a really tough conference and really tough division in a tough conference.
Yeah, I broke it down the other day, and Gus is at 71% winning percentage, which is puts him about second, no further back than third in Auburn winning percentage. Bowden, of course, number one before he got ran off. But people, I think, are not looking at Auburn's past and expecting something out of Auburn. Auburn's just not Alabama. That's just a fact of life. We're not going to win a championship like that.
It's a private school, if I understand correctly. You know,
It's public.
Public school, okay. Well, I mean,
might as well be private.
Which is actually a bigger school than Alabama is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't go too hard on them. Like I said, just all these coaches, you know, I mean, check with almost any school in the country. I mean, I'm sure Washington's really happy with Chris Peterson, but, you know, UCLA, they're talking about getting rid of the coach. You know, USC, they're getting rid of the coach. You know, Oregon, it's the guy's first year. The last guy lasted 2 years, or 1 year. The guy before that lasted 2 years.
Right.
You know, we can go up and down the lineup, and everybody's got big, big questions about their teams and their coaches and all that. So I wouldn't go too crazy on Gus. I mean, he's not perfect. He's not. But he's, you know, pretty darn good. And I think, you know, they probably made the right hire. Did they overspend? Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but But, you know, I mean, listen, they stick with them, and, you know, I think they're still one of the top national teams.
Yeah. Alabama is actually reversed from everyone else. Their coach has issues with the fans, and occasionally his team, they can always do better. You know, 70 points is not enough. And the media. If you lived in Alabama and got to hear all of Nick Saban's speeches, they're almost as much fun as watching the games.
Yeah, he doesn't like the press, that's for sure.
Hey, Chris, one more thing, and I'm going to let Ronnie finish it up. But you brought up the name James Franklin, so I've got to ask you about the decision to go for 2 points against Ohio State. It reminded me of Gus.
Yeah. I've said this since I started watching football. You know, to me, you go for two when you think it's either going to be your last score of the game.
Right.
Or their last score of the game. You know, not before then. You know, 1 point obviously means an awful lot, and, you know, there's a case in point right there. You know, there's time to go for two. There's a couple exceptions. I know that we had the one with Florida and Kentucky a couple years back Tennessee and Kentucky a couple years back when Jones, you know, kicked the point to put them up by 13,
mm-hmm.
you know, fairly late in the game. It's not like, was it Florida that they were playing? Or Kentucky? I think it was Florida. It's not like Florida was going to get a touchdown and two field goals.
Right.
I mean, you know, so there are. But nonetheless, that you probably figured that was your last score of the game.
Right.
You know, and that's when I say it's either going to be your last score of the game or their last score of the game. And that's when you go for two. But, you know, that, otherwise, you know, I'd keep that two-point conversion in my pocket. You know, that's, you know, just – you know, 1 point can mean way, way, way too much.
Yeah.
You know, it might have cost Penn State a chance at a national championship.
Absolutely. All right, Chris, I'm going to throw some picks out. I'm going to throw some teams out here that's playing this weekend, and you tell us who the winner's going to be. All right, first one, Tennessee plus 15 at Auburn.
Well, you know, Tennessee, I think, is just, you know, they're a couple years away. And, you know, Auburn probably would love to make amends from last week. And I'm going to go with Auburn in this one. I hate laying so much chalk, but I would lay the 15, I think.
Okay. Florida, minus 7 at Vandy.
Well, once again, I hate to lay the wood here, but, you know, I think Florida, that's been a pretty good team this year. And Vandy, right. Not quite on my list for, like, disappointing teams, but they have been disappointing for me. I thought they would make a little bit of a stride this year, and they have not done that. I'm going to take Florida minus a 7.
Okay. Michigan State plus 13.5 at Penn State.
Well, I'm not sure too many of my Penn State fans are listening in on this. I picked against them. I think they'd go nuts. I got the guy in valet who went to Penn State, and he asks me every week, and if I don't give him Penn State by 30, I think he's going to wreck my car one of these days. So I'm going to go with Penn State just in case.
I got you. Hey, Georgia minus 7.5 at LSU.
Well, I tell you what, I think LSU got a big shot of covering that number.
I do too.
You know, if not winning the game outright, I think that number is just a little bit too high. I got to go with LSU in this one. I think it's, you know, it's a day game, I think, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be a little better if it was a night game.
Yeah,
but,
I think it's a 2:30
and everything. Yeah, but I think LSU covers this one. I think it's a pretty good shot that they even stay right in there to the end.
This could be my game right here.
This would be Jason's game.
Absolutely. All right, and the last one of those, Missouri is plus 27.5 at Alabama.
Well, that's another one. I think the number's way too high. You know,
I agree.
I know you don't get rich betting against Nick Saban, but I think the 28 just looks a little bit too high. I think Missouri could keep that within 4 touchdowns.
All right. And then the last question we got, we'll get you out of here, Chris. Hey, it's your time for you to pick, you know, your games. What you think the best plays and the winners will be, and save your play of the week for the very last pick.
Okay, I got 4 of them I like. I'll give you my play of the week last.
All right.
I like Duke plus 3 against Georgia Tech. I like Colorado plus the 7 against USC.
Okay.
Iowa State plus 6. Who are they playing? I forget. I think they're playing West Virginia. But that's a really probably the best defensive team in the in the Big 12, which is like being valedictorian of summer school. But, you know,
I've never heard that one, Chris.
That's good. Yeah. That is
I stole
good.
That off somebody. I can't remember who. But anyway, I still use it once in a while. But my best play of the week, I like Wisconsin +9 against Michigan. I don't think Michigan all year I've been kind of anti-Michigan. I don't think they're that good. Wisconsin been pretty disappointing, no doubt about it. They have not been great. But I think they hang in there against Wisconsin. I think the 9 is way, way, way too high. This number should be like 4 or 5, something like that.
All right. Good deal. I want to tell you, that reminded me, Chris, I got to tell you this before I let you go. A little exciting news in my world. I've got the chance to play a part of a fat man in a upcoming movie, but the only thing is, yeah, they want me to lose 30 or 40 pounds to get the part.
Oh, oh, man. Well, I had a comment there. I was going to say, did they have to fit you for a fat suit or no? I know they wouldn't have to fit me, I can tell you.
Oh, my. Oh, goodness.
All right. All right, Chris, man, we're so glad that you are back at them and feeling better. Like I said, a lot of things more important than football, and your health is one of them. So we're very happy to hear that you're back, back out giving out winners.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not the biggest religious guy in the world, but I had a lot of people praying for me this week and last couple weeks, and I know you guys were two of them, and you know, I deeply appreciate it. I really do, because right now I feel pretty good. You know, I got this battle that I'm fighting, and you know, it's one of those things, not to get into too many details, I'm just going to have to fight it forever. But, you know, forever might mean, you know, 20 years, the doctor tells me. So, you know, okay, if that's it, I can live with that.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
Hey, you're going to beat it.
All right, guys.
Yeah, we're glad you're back.
And I got to tell you, I have so much fun doing this every week. I can't even tell you how much I look forward to it.
Chris, not as much fun as we enjoy having you on.
Chris enjoys it so much, he would do it for free.
He'd do it for free.
All right, Chris, have yourself a great weekend.
Stick that valedictorian comment in your back pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Especially you. You know, weren't you a principal? You
That's
probably
right.
Do that at
I'm
some
gonna,
point.
I'm going to use that one right there.
Have a great week, Chris.
All right, guys.
All right.
Chris, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
Later.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Man.
Chris Andrews, straight from Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Hey, I don't know what this show would be without Chris.
That's
I mean,
non-existent.
Yeah, he adds so much to it.
Absolutely.
And, man, like I said, glad he is back at him.
Sure.
4:51, as it just flipped over.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Too much to carry. No chance of finding a woman who will love you in the morning. And
we've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company.
servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanApplianceRepair.com.
Scissor Salon, Highway 278 just east of the water plant, has been a proud supporter of Live 95 since the early days. Angela at Scissor Salon does her best to keep you looking your best. Haircuts, colors, perms, scissors can handle them all. And walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Scissor Salon, Highway 278, just east of the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
All right.
Yeah, you're on now.
We're on the air. Dre's been playing a little new game on us there, coming in and out of the music.
But, oh, man.
Hey, Ronnie, before we get started,
sure.
I want to make this note. We were talking about things more important than football, and looking at this text message, I don't know how many people know this man or what, but Brandon Helm, I know you were a principal at Vinemont when he attended school at Vinemont, and he worked for us for a couple of years. But, you know, Brandon had his skeletons or demons, I guess you would say, as most of us do. But some of us are fortunate enough not to get a spotlight shined on him and made his mistakes. But if you were ever around Brandon, he was the type of person you couldn't help but like him. I mean, he just had that personality. But he has passed away after a car accident. And, you know, we won't get into the whys and the what happened before. But I will say this, he is an organ donor, so going to give life and a better life to some folks. So if you would just remember that family in prayer. He has a leaving a wife and five girls.
Five girls.
The baby was the youngest born August the 29th. And so
he
was kidding with me, said he finally had his entire basketball team there now, five girls.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
But anyway, let's move on to a more happy side.
Happy side, that's right. Hey, Jason, you know, the AP Top 25, I'm going to go through those quickly. Get your opinion if you have, you know, if you have one on a particular team or whether you think, you know, this is about where they should be or they're too high, too low. 25, you got Cincinnati. 24, Mississippi State. 23, South Florida. 22, Texas A&M. 21, Auburn. Opinion there. They're down 13 spots, but they are the highest ranked two loss team.
And they were probably the highest ranked one loss team.
They were
over there.
You're exactly right. They were. So
I think they're being kind to them.
That's being kind. Okay.
Yeah, I think they should be about 26 or 27.
Okay. Top
25.
Okay. So Auburn sitting at 21. 20 is North Carolina State. 19 is Colorado, who Chris has said was his surprise team.
I had no
team.
Idea they were undefeated.
I had no clue. 18 is Kentucky, 17 Oregon, 16 Miami, 15 Wisconsin, 14 is Florida. They're up 8 spots. I'll say it again. Jason doesn't agree with me.
I'm starting to believe a little
bit. Okay, starting to believe a little bit. I truly believe the next big challenger to Alabama in the SEC, I'm not saying next year, but I believe the next big challenger to them will be the University of Florida and Dan Mullen. I just think he's going to be able to recruit those 4- and 5-star athletes where while he was at Mississippi State, he did a great job. Jason, I think, had his records here last week, and they were pretty impressive except for maybe one season. You know, he won like 6 games, and he was doing that with, you know, probably 3 and maybe a few four stars, if that. Two and three is probably predominantly. So that's just my opinion. I think Dan Mullins could win the next one.
I didn't like Dan Mullins. Had no real reason. Just one of them things. You know,
Absolutely.
But I watched the SEC Network, and there was a special had Dan Mullen on it, and he was going over some film and so forth. And just after watching that 30-minute special, I like Dan Mullins a lot more.
Yeah, have a different opinion.
Seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's really, really going to put Florida back on the map. They're sitting at 14 right now.
Hey, and Ronnie, can you not say something for me here?
I'll try.
Alabama fans, a lot of them call me a Bama hater and all because of all the shots, like I said. I not do the same thing with Auburn?
Absolutely.
If it's not good, it's not good.
Exactly
I don't care
right.
what color you're wearing.
Absolutely. You're one of the most upfront fan, regardless of which team, you know. You're an Auburn guy, but you call them out when it's not good.
I'm not going to lie and say something good.
Exactly. And right now they're not good.
They're not good.
They might be good Saturday, but they're not good right now.
Right.
At number 13 is LSU. Number 12 is Michigan. 11, Oklahoma. Oklahoma lost last week, which, in my opinion, knocks them out of the opportunity to be in the playoffs. So I think they're toast.
Who is this Texas team? Texas looking like Texas.
Texas
again.
Is beginning to look like Texas again. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, gosh, if you can't recruit and win at Texas, well, there's something bad going on. So, again, Oklahoma's number 11. Number 10 is UCF, which is the University of Central Florida, if you don't happen to know
like
that.
I remember that team.
Exactly. Number 9 is the team that Texas that Jason just spoke of, Texas Longhorns. They're up 10 spots to number 9. Number 8 is Penn State. Number 7 is Washington. Number 6, West Virginia. Number 5, Notre Dame, who I predict will be in the playoffs. Number 4, Clemson. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 2, Georgia. And number 1 this week is still Alabama. So that is your top 25 right
there.
How
do you like that? Auburn beats Washington first game of the season. Now Washington sitting at, 7, and Auburn's 21?
That's right.
My, how things change.
You're exactly right. So, hey, Jason, you know, a couple headlines here. Diggs, who is a defensive back at Alabama, he will be out for the remainder.
Hey, Diggs?
Diggs.
Boy,
D-I-G-G-S.
They have some funky names.
Yeah, his older brother is a starting receiver with the Minnesota Vikings. But he will be out the remainder of the season. He has a broke foot. Tua, which he's fine. No issues, no problems. He's practiced all week. But he has been wearing a knee brace. He put that on during the last week's game, Arkansas game. I think he tweaked the knee, maybe sprained the knee a little bit. But he should be fine. Shouldn't be any issues there. But he is wearing a brace now. Another name here, Jason, we have not heard in a long while from a coach. It's the name of Hugh Freeze, the past.
I wonder who he's calling now.
The past head coach at Ole Miss. He is now been named the offensive coordinator of the new pro football league, American Alliance Football. He's now the offensive coordinator of the Arizona. I don't know what they are, the Arizona whatevers, but Hugh Freeze, the new OC of the Arizona football team of the American Alliance Football. So
he'll probably do a good job if they can keep him out of the hotel room. Get him to the game.
He will. He will do a good job. He's a good football coach, you know. So, the other thing that I mention each and every week, because Jason and I have a friendly wager on it. So I will continue.
I made some ground on that this week. Well, I don't know. Arkansas racked up.
Arkansas put 31 on them. Yeah. So our simple little lunch wager for the season is: I said at the end of the season that Auburn defensively would rank higher. Total defense. That was Jason's call. Total defense would rank higher than Alabama's defense. And presently, Auburn is still leading that category. They rank in total defense 48th, and Alabama ranks total defense. They are in the 56th spot. So I'm still winning the lunch bet, and as long as things continue on, Alabama wins. And
I didn't
Auburn
feel real
ahead.
Good about it after watching Arkansas move the ball like they did.
Yep. Auburn is Auburn's averaging giving up 14.3 points a game, and Alabama now after Arkansas, you know, put 31 up against them, they are now averaging giving up 16 points a game. So
I wonder what the lowest average after a complete season, the lowest average like points allowed would be for a college
good
team.
Good question. We'll have to find that for next week.
I might find that while y'all are doing the fishing segment.
You could do that. You could do that. Jason, we have not mentioned the high school games from this past week, so let me just throw out the winners there. We made our picks, and I'll tell you how we did on those. Cullman last week played Athens. Athens defeated Cullman in overtime. Both of us picked Cullman to win, so we missed that one. Fairview was defeated by North Jackson. We both picked North Jackson to win there. West Point was at Jasper. Jasper defeated West Point. We both picked Jasper. Vimont was at Fultondale. Fultondale won the game, and we both picked Fultondale. Holly Pond was at Locust Fork. Holly Pond won the game. I got that one wrong.
I think Holly Pond lost.
You picked Locust Fork.
Yeah. I think you may have picked Holly Pond.
I picked the opposite. Locust Fork won, so I missed it. You got it right. And then Hansville at Midfield. Midfield won. We both took Midfield. Good Hope lost to Northside. Jason missed that one. He took Good Hope, and I took Northside, so I got that one correct.
We ended up even, Steven.
Both of us, for the week, we were 5-2 in just our high school picks. So,
what does that make us for the year?
I do not know.
I don't either.
I'll try to get that. You were up on me about 3 or 4 games there at
so
one
nothing
time.
Changed.
So nothing has really changed. Hey, Jason, for those people who may have an interest in some of, you know, we're midway through the season. And for, you know, we certainly talk, you know, basically exclusively about SEC, but there are other conferences out there. There are other teams that play. So I thought, you know, quickly I would run through, you know, some of those conferences and who's leading those conferences. And then, in about 10 minutes, we're going to have Rex Chambers and Wesley Sams in the studio with us. There's a fishing tournament coming up, and they're both, here to tout that and try to encourage people, but we'll get more to fish that term, but we'll get more into that later.
You know what would be a great one, and I hope Rex is listening. He probably is, because he's probably on his way over here.
Yeah.
But it would be a great thing to pull on Rex. You know, you see these hidden camera shows and where they're pranking people and all?
Yeah.
Is send somebody out with Rex on a fishing trip that knows they act like they know absolutely nothing. About fishing.
You want to throw it, hold it?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, and I can see him after about an hour of that, ready to go back and load the boat.
He probably would. He'd probably start claiming he had motor problems or turning motor batteries down. Oh, man. Okay, Jason, just going through some of the conferences. The American Atlantic Conference, AAC, you don't hear much about that. They have two divisions. Leading that is University of Cincinnati in the East and the Houston Cougars. In the West, Cincinnati is, at this point in the season, they are undefeated at 6-0, and Houston is 4-1. The ACC, we know there's two divisions there. Clemson is leading the Atlantic. They are 6-0, and the Miami Hurricanes, they are leading the Coastal. They are 5-1. Clemson ranked 4th. Miami is ranked 16th. The Big 12 Conference, West Virginia Mountaineers, they are leading that conference. They are 5-0, and they're ranked 8th. Right behind them, the Texas Longhorns. Big Ten Conference, Ohio State, undefeated, 6-0. Michigan behind them at 5-1, and Penn State then behind them at 4-1. What a heartbreaking loss for Penn State when Ohio State came
back.
Man,
I thought they had it.
I did, too. I mean, they were up 2 scores in the fourth quarter, and end up getting beat. But that's the east side. In the west, you got the west side of the Big Ten Conference. You got Wisconsin. They're sitting at 4-1, and they are ranked 15th nationally. Conference USA, Middle Tennessee State is leading that division. They are 3-2 in the east. The UAB Blazers. Hey, the Blazers are 4-1. They are leading the west side of the Conference USA. Now,
I still say it, Ronnie. Right there is your next coach to go to a big school. I don't see how they've kept him this long.
I think he does a fantastic job at UAB. And from a school who
maybe Auburn needs to look at UAB.
Drop their program. So I think he's doing an outstanding job. For the people around here that don't know much about Conference USA, I'll quickly give those teams out. That's Middle Tennessee, Florida International, Marshall, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, Western Kentucky, Old Dominion. People probably remember Old Dominion as they defeated West Virginia.
I agree.
First time they've ever won against a Power 5 team. The west side of Conference USA, where UAB plays, you've got Texas, San Antonio, Southern Miss, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, the Rice Owls, and then the UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso. Those are your major conferences. We have some independents, and we all know who's leading in the independent league is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They are 6-0, ranked fifth nationally.
And we all know who's leading the SEC.
That's exactly right. And then the Mid-American Conference, the team that Chris mentioned earlier in the year to look out for, and he hit the nail on the head. The Buffalo Bulls.
That's one of the craziest picks I've ever heard.
Leading the Mid-American Conference, they are 5-1. 5-1.
Yeah, it's not like picking Colorado or South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Buffalo. Not the Buffalo Bills.
No. The
Buffalo University.
Bulls. Buffalo Bulls University. And then the last one that we will mention, the Pac-12, another one of the Power 5 conferences, Washington Huskies ranked number 7. They are leading the North Division at 5-1, and the South Division leader, which was Chris mentioned them just earlier, the team, his surprise team of the year, is leading the South, and that's the Colorado Buffaloes. They are also 5-0 and ranked 19th. So that's just a quick rundown
every
of the conferences.
Every time I hear Buffalo, and then we'll take a break and go to fishing, but yeah. Every time I hear Buffalo, I think Buffalo, Colorado. I think about, you may know his name, the coach that was coaching Colorado, and his daughter started dating one of the football players,
yeah.
And I think
Stewart was
become pregnant by one of the football players.
He was
and
a quarterback.
He gave up coaching.
Yeah, begins with an M. Is a last name. I'll think of it in a few minutes.
But anyway, that's
he won a national championship at Colorado.
Used to be good.
He won a national championship. But I can see his face. I cannot put a name with it right now.
And boy, Nebraska. You know, Nebraska back in the 80s was something.
Tom Osborne.
And now kids don't even think about Nebraska if they follow football.
No. And I wanted to ask Chris his opinion about Nebraska. Do they ever get back to close to what they were? Gosh, I don't know.
It's a long way.
That's right. Hey, it is 10 minutes after 5. Jake, would you possibly, yes, you can, take us to a break. Once we get finished with our break, please join us again. We're going to have our good fishing buddy, Rex Chambers, and a friend of ours, Wesley Sams. They're going to be here talking about a fish tournament that is coming up that's near and dear to their heart, and that is a fishing tournament for autism. So please hang around. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Coleman. Join us on Tuesday starting at 4 p.m. for a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. Here is your chance to talk to an impartial professional. Talk about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. Join Dr. Howard Rogers as we shine the spotlight on topics most people agree aren't discussed enough. Relationships with one another and mental health. Go ahead and put the station's phone number in your phone now so we can take your call on this show. 256-737-9505. That's 256-737-9505. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman. We will see you Tuesday at 4 p.m. for Life Talk Live, right here on Coleman's Independent Radio, Coleman's Live 95.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Colman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, in MLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is almost 5:15. We got two of our friends in here. We've got Mr. Rex Chambers, who is with us each and every week, giving us some advice how to put more fish in a boat, and also loves to talk a little Auburn football. And then our friend of ours, Mr. Wesley Sams, who is kind of the sponsor of the tournament that these guys are here to talk about. So, guys, thanks for being here. We appreciate y'all coming in.
Great to be here.
Yeah. Wesley, everybody doing well?
Doing great.
Fantastic. Rex, all well?
Hey,
what'd you shoot today?
Everything. I don't want to talk about it.
Not a good score today?
No.
You didn't play?
No. Nah, maybe.
Yeah. You just don't want to talk about it. Hey, guys, and we'll get right into this. We'll stay as long as you guys want to stay or can stay. You know, you just stay with us. But I know, and Rex had told us, Wesley, a couple of weeks ago that, you know, that this autism tournament is coming up. And I know you play a huge part in that. But before we kind of talk about the tournament, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot. I don't mean to. But if someone's listening and, you know, they kind of hear the word autism or autistic, can you kind of tell folks kind of what that is, what that means?
Sure, I can. It's not a learning disability. It's nothing like that. Actually, a lot of autistic kids are...
They're very bright.
Very bright, very bright. They learn different. They're different, not less. Where we learn 1, 2, 3, ABC, they may learn 2, 3, 1, CBA. You know, it's just you've got to figure out what works for them to get them to tap into their highest potential.
Right. This is going to sound ugly. They're more, we're all creatures of habit, but they don't adapt well with a lot of change, or am I correct there, Wesley?
For the most part, each case is different. Okay. I've not seen one case that's exactly the same. I can only speak for my son and what we've experienced. He's not as much into routine as most autism cases are.
Okay.
He adapts very well with change. He's done very well in school. School's tough for a lot of the autistic kids. Okay. But not my son.
Not him.
He's done real well. But now that's because, and we'll get into this later, but that's because of the support group that my son has, my parents, my in-laws, my wife, and the programs that we have him in.
Okay. Wesley, for a couple that may have a small child, do you know kind of the normal age that kids are kind of diagnosed? What's the sign?
You kind of see flags. We saw red flags with our son. We kept being told that it was speech delay, and we wasn't happy with the results.
Right.
And they probably got frustrated with my wife at UAB. She's pretty persistent.
Uh-huh.
She would call until we got the appointment with UAB. She was calling daily to make sure there were openings, because the waiting period was like a year. But we waited about 4 to 6 months maybe before we got our son in, and he was diagnosed at 3.5. But now we started seeing red flags. A year and a half, he didn't talk.
Okay, I was going to say, what are some red flags that you're
dealt with? His speech wasn't developing, and so when we were told speech delay, it didn't really shock us. But there was other stuff that he had started to do, and then he kind of regressed, and it just kind of set him back a little bit, and he wasn't progressing like most of the kids that we knew.
Right.
And we were going based on my niece. We seen what kind of progress she had made, because as parents, we didn't really know what to expect. That being our first child, we didn't know at
you
what
didn't have a clue.
Exactly. We didn't know at what age is he supposed to be talking, at what age is he supposed to be, you know, doing certain things.
Right.
And it just, we wasn't satisfied with the progressions that he was making. And we just, like I said, my wife, through her persistence, she kept on, kept on, and finally we got the answers that we were looking for.
Okay.
And see, that's where his son is available for change. My nephew, who's 25, he's the right opposite. He is a creature of habit, and you don't change his.
See, that's what I. That's what I've been.
Every autism case is pretty much different. You know, most people realize what their only autism affiliation is usually with the movie Rain Man. And that was a totally, I mean, that was a very advanced, he was a genius,
right.
and a lot of them are geniuses.
Absolutely.
In certain things. My nephew, you give him a video game 24 hours, it's over.
Uh-huh.
He's figured it out.
Right.
But put him out in a social setting, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And you know, he won't wear laces in his tennis shoes, and certain quirks that he has, and speech was the number one thing that we saw when he was younger too.
Is that kind of common with basically all?
I would say that was a majority. Some autism cases can speak as well as you and I can.
Okay,
but I would say that's a majority of them is speech.
I'd agree.
Okay,
I'd agree.
Okay, Wesley or Rex, because you both are. It's your son, your nephew. If there's a couple out there, a young couple that may suspect something's not, mm-hmm. I don't want to say normal, because you know what is normal, you know. But what would you suggest for a couple that may be needing some advice as to what's my step, what's my next thing I need to do?
Right. Well, if you see the red flags and you're concerned and looking for answers like we were, first of all, get with your pediatrician. If you're not happy with what he or she tells you that you need to do, you can get in contact with me. I can get you, or my wife can get you the number to UAB Sparks Clinic. Get with Rhonda Davis. She is the program director for the Coleman Autism and Special Needs Support Group, who we'll talk about later.
Right.
And we can get you some of the information that you're looking for.
Okay. So there's help there. There's certainly...
There's help available
groups.
If you know what avenues to travel.
And right. That's the whole reason this event happens, is to help the help.
Exactly.
Yep.
To help the help.
That's right.
That's why we're here. And do you guys, I mean, are y'all ready to transition into that, or is there more you want to talk about just autism in general? I'm just, whatever you guys want to do.
My biggest thing on autism is people don't realize how to face it head on. And sometimes it's tough.
Right.
And for family members especially, it's a tough road. For parents, I'm not a parent. I can imagine what he goes through daily.
Right.
You know, mine is part-time.
Right.
Mine lives next door to us. It was my wife's sister's son who's since passed away.
Right.
And it is a daily grind to take care of a very, very bad case.
And correct me if I'm wrong. This is for many, or I don't know if you'd say all, this is a lifelong, maybe battle's not the right word, but
challenge.
Yeah,
challenge.
I mean, do some of these kids or adults, are they able to live independently?
That was one of our primary concerns when we found out he was autistic.
Right.
The UAB people at UAB sat us down, and of course we had a mile long list of questions, and then one of my questions was, will he be able one day to live independently?
As any dad would want to know, or
any parent would want to know. And the answer that they told us, it's all dependent on what you're willing to do.
True.
How much are you willing to do? Early intervention is you can put a million asterisks beside it. That's the number one key to getting help for your child.
Okay, when you say early intervention, what are you saying?
As soon as you think, realize, recognize that there may or might not be red flags, get them tested. Because in our case, hey, we wanted to know if he was, we were ready to take those steps. What do we need to do? When do we need to do it? How do we do it to get him corrected, get him the help that he needs,
right.
Get him in on that road? And if he's not, well, what is it? And we'll tackle that.
Okay.
So early intervention is the key. Don't wait. A lot of families wait till their kids enter grade school.
True.
Well, by then you've got to get an IEP, individual educational plan.
Yeah.
And when we found out, we didn't want our son to have an IEP. We wanted him to be in the traditional classroom setting. We wanted him to learn like we don't want him treated any different.
Right.
We know what his limits are. We know what he's capable of, and he's just as capable as anybody. But get the help as soon as you think there may be red flags. A lot of parents are in denial of it, don't want to know.
Right.
And it's up to the teachers, the administration at whatever school they go to.
Uh-huh.
They have to set the parents down, tell them. And then you're set back. In our case, if we'd have waited, it would have been 2.5 years.
Right.
So we had a 2.5 year head start and kind of had some help before we ever entered grade school, and that's helped him transition into grade school.
Okay. My next question is, if once a family has determined that they've got a child that is autistic or, you know, has autism, how does that change your family dynamic? Well, what can they expect on a daily basis that may be different than if you don't have a child that's autistic?
Sure. Well, first of all, you got to realize you're not going to love them any less. You know, this is still your child. You've got to do what you would in any circumstance. And it really didn't change much for us because my son's very fortunate that he's got us. We break the bank to do whatever we have to do to make sure he gets the help he needs. We've got my parents, and then we've got my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and then we've got my brother-in-law, my sister, or my wife's brother, and his wife. They help out tremendously, but it never really. I'm going to say my son's a mild case, so we hadn't probably experienced as much as what some of the more serious cases are.
Okay.
But we do have our struggles. Homework's a struggle. But now numbers is my son's thing. He's where CJ, where his was video games, my son's numbers. He can do any kind of math you put in front of him, you know, within reason. Of a second grade.
Sure. But so every child, the dynamic is different for everybody.
Different cases.
Okay.
Their brains will be on each one is going to be on a different wave. Some might be numbers. Some might be English. I mean, some might be music. And like I said, my nephew's video games. I mean, he's a genius when it comes to video games.
Okay.
And that's all. He's 24/7.
But he's not social.
No, not social whatsoever.
But
my son's nonverbal. I can get him to. I can get. He's now starting to. When we tell him something, you know, he'll repeat us.
Uh-huh.
But as far as him coming up to us and saying, you know, Daddy, when's the fishing tournament? No, he don't do that.
Okay.
But now we carry him down there and he'll fish and rod and reel and, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
But as far as putting 3 and 4 words together to make a sentence, no, he doesn't do that yet. But we're working.
Will that come in time? I know that's your hope and your prayer.
The more they work with him.
Yes.
Potential is there.
It's just a matter of time. I mean, he's really, in the past 6 months, we've kind of turned a little bit of a curve as far as him being more verbal, letting us know, expressing more of what he wants, what he needs. We're getting there. We're going to get there.
Okay. This is going to be a kind of a strange question. This, when you have a child that is diagnosed with autism, what kind of a change? Gosh, I don't really know how to ask it, Wesley, because I don't want to be offensive.
No, don't be. Don't worry.
How difficult are parents going to have to say, this is going to be hard on us, mom and dad?
Well,
I mean, you can't coat that with rosy glasses that it's all good and wonderful and no issues.
No, it can't be 50-50. It's got to be 100-100.
Right.
And, you know, I'm lucky. My wife, which is wonderful, she teaches school.
Yeah.
So in the summer, she's carrying him to whatever therapy we have. And then she coaches volleyball, so when school starts, I pick it up, and in the afternoons, I carry him whatever therapy he's got. And then we've got a daughter as well, so she's all with her mama in sports. And
younger, older?
She's younger. She's
okay.
And she's been very, very good for him.
And a ball of fire.
Yes. And Rex hit that one. She is a ball of fire. But now she's really helped him. She makes him. She pushes him.
Okay.
He sees some of the things that she does, and she's really good at working with. She's got that teacher mentality,
uh-huh,
too.
Uh-huh. And how old did you say
she's? She's 6.
She's 6, okay.
Yes. And she's guaranteed to be a teacher.
That's right.
Well, good deal. Well, hey, I hope, you know, for the folks out there that don't have a clue, that maybe they do have just a little inkling of you know, maybe what to look for or what to expect, you know, or who to get in contact with. I know that's kind of where you're headed now. So tell us the history of this tournament. Tell us about the tournament. It's pretty obvious why it got started, but how did you ever get the ball rolling to do a fishing tournament? Because I know you're a huge fisherman, just like Rex.
Well, that's right. When we first were diagnosed, my dad said, you know, we need to do something. And all we ever known is fish. You know, that's I've been around fishing since I was born, and that's a credit to him.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Wesley, you said something. You said something there that really caught my attention, because you said when we were diagnosed.
Yeah.
That has a whole different feel and a whole different sound of when he was diagnosed, because it's all of you.
That's right.
It's everybody.
It's all of
that,
us.
That one word makes a huge difference when we were diagnosed.
Right.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, no problem. So dad came to me and said, we got to do something. And that's all we know to do. That's all we've ever done is fish. So, what better way to do raise money than a fishing tournament? And it was all 100% dad's idea. When we started thinking about it, Rex was one of the first persons that I called.
Which was a great resource.
Right. Rex, everybody that fishes around here knows Rex.
Yeah.
Everybody that fishes North Alabama knows Rex. And everybody that fishes in the Southeast knows Rex Chambers. And Rex was very supportive of it. Whatever I can do, you let me know, I'll help. So we started that day contacting businesses, people, to see what they were willing to do. And the first year was phenomenal. When you don't realize how good the people of Coleman are till you're faced with something like this, and you're trying to raise money for something like this. And they really came through. The first year, weather was phenomenal. We had 118 boats.
First year.
We were able to give all of our proceeds that we raised go to the Coleman Autism and Special Needs Support Group. That's Rhonda Davis is the president. We give her the money. She takes that money. Whatever activities the kids need, whatever resources they need, whatever services they need, however they can use the money to benefit the families. Because I've said this before, my son is going to be fine. He's fortunate enough, my parents, my in-laws. Yeah. But some of these kids are not as fortunate.
Yeah.
They don't have the access to some of the things that my son does.
Right.
And that's solely why we do this, to help these families that are in need.
Okay.
And that's what Coleman Autism and Special Needs Support Group does. They get all these resources provided for these families. And that first year, we were able to give them a little over $10,000.
The very first year.
Which was almost double their budget.
I was going to say, what is their budget? Where does their budget come from?
It's really and truly, I don't know.
Okay.
A lot of donations. I think they get very little.
Is there a county commission or city?
There is some. We have found out there's some money available to them. We're trying to get the channels in place for them to get some more money. But yes, the $10,000 was a little over double of what their normal budget was.
Okay.
Second year didn't fare so well. That first year we had an early registration period that really helped our numbers out. Second year we decided not to do that. Okay. Register the morning of the tournament, and we didn't have a late cutoff. And the weather did hurt us. We had cold rain, 45 degrees, 58 boats.
Miserable.
Right.
We gave them $8,000 last year. So, but that wasn't just all the fishermen. That was a little bit more donation that we had. More people recognized that we wouldn't be able to give them the money that we did before. So they all community supported.
Okay.
This year we've put a early entry fee deadline. It was $125 before October 1st, $150 after October 1st. We've got several pre-registries. I don't know, just off the top of my head, I want to say a dozen or so.
Okay.
But we're hoping this year, we've raised more money this year, so we're going to at least be able to give them $10,000, depending on how many fishermen we have. We're going to be able to give them quite a bit more, hopefully.
Okay.
So it just remains to be seen.
And that's why we're here.
Yes.
Area fishermen, it's 1 week from this coming Saturday.
Okay. That's going to be my next question.
Come out here and fish with us.
Okay. Please make note of that, folks. The actual date is
October 20th.
Give us the details, Wesley.
October 20th, safe daylight till 3 p.m. Fish Life, Jody Harrison at Fish Life, he's offered to do the weigh-in for us. He does a terrific job, phenomenal job. We're going to try to open the scales at 2 p.m. for those people that have somewhere they want to go. They want to fish, but they got to be somewhere right. mid-afternoon. I know there's a couple weddings people going to. We're going to open the scales at 2. So, but it's tentatively 6 or save daylight till 3 p.m.
And this is, you may have Smith said, Lake I mean, out of the dam.
Smith Lake Dam.
Out of the dam. And if you don't fish, if you can't fish, get with Wesley or me, and we'll take your entry fee.
Okay.
I promise you that.
And that's what I was going to say. If someone doesn't fish, has no interest in fishing, but would like to donate to the cause,
that's right.
how do they?
Like I said, you find me on Rex Chambers Fishing on Facebook. Shoot me a message. I can promise you, if you got a little extra cash you want to spend on an entry fee or a donation toward this cause, we'll take care of you.
Right. And I think the most important thing, Wesley, that you said was all of the proceeds, you know, many tournaments, you know, there's part of it goes here and part of it goes there for an administrative cost, and many times it doesn't get to where it really is supposed to go.
That's right.
But this tournament that you guys put on, every dime goes to the...
Goes straight to the Coleman Autism and Special Needs Support Group. I write the check to her. I handle all the money. Okay. I write the check to her. I get it to her. You can visit Angling for Autism Facebook page.
Okay.
You can visit my Facebook page. There's flyers, entry forms on there. Simply print one out. If you can't find one around in any of the tackle stores or anywhere, just get on Facebook. You can find everything there. My address is there. My phone number, Rex's number. Just give us a shout, and we'll get the money where it needs to go.
I'm the easiest person in the world to find.
To find.
I mean, my number is all over the web. I get 100 phone calls a day from people I don't want to call, okay?
So, or they can call the golf course at Tinsley
or Coleman or anywhere. But, like I said, I'm the easiest person in the world to get in touch with. My phone's in my hand
24-7. Right.
And get with us. This autism tournament is the best, one of the best ran tournaments around. It is the best cause, in my opinion, and in Wesley's opinion. There's not a better cause for a tournament to raise money around the area.
Absolutely. And Wesley, again, what was the lady's name or that the proceeds go to? Correct. And her title?
Rhonda Davis.
Rhonda
She's
Davis.
The president of the Coleman Autism and Special Needs Support Group. We're affiliated with Autism of Alabama.
Okay. Does she have an office number that if people could call her to have questions that you may not have it?
I don't have it with me, but yes, she certainly does.
Okay, but they could find her, you know, on the internet.
You can find her on Facebook.
Right.
Coleman Autism and Special Needs Support Group. All of her information is there, her phone number, her office contact, cell phone, everything.
And you would certainly recommend folks, if they have that need, to contact her.
Absolutely.
Contact her. And our local businesses here around Cole, I can't express enough, this is one of the best causes there is.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And they want to donate. They want to help. They know how to get in touch with
exactly.
everybody.
Exactly. And, you know, this autism, autistic situation, however you want to label it, it is very broad, and it affects many, many, many people. Years ago, I don't think we ever heard of, I guess there was no diagnosis, you know. It was just...
Right. When we were diagnosed 5 years ago, it was 1 in 90 boys, 1 in 50 girls. Now it's more like 1 in 50 boys and 1 in 90 girls. So it's definitely something that's... There's no evidence of any...
Of anything.
No, of what causes.
Of what causes.
I can remember, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But I can recall now at least 3... maybe 4 that I went to school with.
Right.
That was probably had some form of autism.
Exactly.
But yet they were, some were shunned.
Yes.
Some were treated badly.
Right.
And they never were given the opportunities that they needed.
Right.
And things have changed. And it's because of things like this.
Absolutely.
That things have changed.
People just making more,
right.
just make them aware.
Absolutely.
You know, and people are willing, you know, this country, you know, while all the problems it has, and maybe, you know, our city and our county with all the problems we may have, when it really comes down to it, as you said earlier, people are willing to help. People want to help.
We live in a great community.
We absolutely do. You know, awesome. And most of the time, all you got to do is ask them.
That's right.
You know, ask them. Wesley, if somebody doesn't fish, they don't know how to fish, and the but they would just volunteer. Is there a need?
Do
you need volunteers, or can you, or does it get to the point where hey, they're just more in the way?
No, we'll have something you can do. I assure you, you can get a hold of me. My cell phone number 256-385-1825. You can get a hold of my dad, Roger Sams. His number is 256-595-3918.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're willing to help, we can more than definitely use you.
Okay.
Before I forget,
yeah,
this tournament is a week from Saturday. This Saturday, day after tomorrow, there's also another event called Cash for Kids. It's out of Smith Lake Park. They need some boaters. They have about 20 kids signed up to go fishing for a day, brim fishing, crop, whatever. Uh-huh. Just go out more or less for a boat ride. Out. Take a kid out on a boat for a few hours.
These special needs kids.
And they need a few more boaters to help them out. So.
Right.
The flyer will be on my Facebook page for the Cash for Kids also.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if you're doing something for an underprivileged or physically or mentally challenged kid, there's nothing greater you can do.
Hey, we get more out of this than the kids every time.
You're exactly right. You get more. The money is secondary as to what you get out of it yourself.
Exactly. And there will be several down there at the tournament on tournament day. I don't know how many activities are planned right now for tournament day, but come interact with you. It's going to surprise you.
Okay. Here's another silly thing. You said it's out of the dam. If somebody wants to fish or they want to come help, they don't know how to get to the Smith Lake Dam, how they get there.
Takes 69 South straight through Dodge City.
And you can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
Once you cross two bridges, you're there on the right.
Take a right up the hill on the right.
There you go.
So I promise
on your way to Jasper.
You'll be able to see us. It'll look like the Saints are playing football at the Superdome. We'll have that place lit up.
It'll be there.
Yeah. Well, guys, hey, I appreciate y'all coming. Maybe you can hang around a few minutes. We're going to make some picks for games. If you don't have to run, stay and make some picks with us. If you got to go, we understand, but I greatly appreciate you guys coming by, and even more than that, I respect you for what you're doing here. There'll be jewels in your crown for what you're doing here, and well, we appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
Thank you all for the time.
You got it. All right, stay with us. Sports Talk Live will be back. We'll be making some picks. Maybe Rex and Wesley will stay with us, but if not, Jason and I will do it. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Come on.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Cullman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Cullman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Cullman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Cullman's Live 95. We are Cullman's independent radio.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Cullman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company.
servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanApplianceRepair.com.
Scissor Salon, Highway 278.
All right. Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Rex had to leave, and we have strong-armed Wesley to stay and make a few picks for us, and then we're going, all of us will be getting out of here. So we'll start off first with some high school picks. Take me a second to get organized right here, these games this week. All right. Man, this print is so small, my eyes are so bad.
It's funny how they keep making prints. I know,
it's like they
smaller.
Make it bigger. You got that right. All right, high school picks first. We will start with Good Hope. Good Hope plays, that'd be the 12th, won't it? The yep. day, yeah. Good Hope plays Haleyville. Good Hope and Haleyville. All right, Wesley, who you got?
Good Hope had an undefeated season going. Got beat last week on the road. And yep. where are they playing?
They are, they're home at Haleyville.
They're home.
Home against Haleyville.
Home at Haleyville.
Home at Haleyville.
Home at Haleyville. I'd like to see Good Hope pull it off, but I'm afraid Haleyville's going to be a little too much for them, so I'm going to have to go with Haleyville.
All right. Wes is going with Haleyville. Jason?
I got to go the same direction.
All right. And I hate to agree with these other two guys, but I'm also having to go with Haleyville.
Well, if I don't give Good Hope a reason to...
Oh, that's motivation.
We'll show three of them pick against us.
Absolutely right. All right. Now it's Holly Pond. Holly Pond is away. They're on the road, and they play J.B. Pennington. Holly Pond, J.B. Pennington.
Tough loss last week. I'll take Pennington.
Pennington. All right, Jason.
I'm going to go with the Pond.
You're going with Holly Pond.
That's only because I know nothing about J.B. Pennington.
All right. Well, I tell you, I hate to, but I'm going to go with J.B. Pennington. I think I'm going to agree with Wesley on this one. All right, Vinemont. Vinemont is on the road against Locust Fort.
Give me Locust Fort.
Locust Fort for Wesley.
And who did Locust Fort beat last week? We picked them.
Holly Pond.
Yeah, Locust Fort.
Locust Fort. And I will also take Locust Fort against Vinemont. All right, Hansville. I think Hansville is open this week. Yep, Hansville doesn't play. West Point. West Point is home against Dora.
I don't know much about Dora. My wife's going to kill me if They're I don't ranked. Go with West Point. West Point's got some injuries, but yeah, give me West Point. I got to go with them. I don't want to have to hear from
her. Yeah, exactly. It's not worth it. All right, Jason, Dora or West Point?
Dora.
Dora.
In a route.
I'm in a route. Okay. I'm also going to have to go with Dora as well. All right, let's see. Coleman. Coleman is home against Muscle Shoals. Coleman, Muscle Shoals.
You know, I'm a graduate of Coleman, but I'm going to have to go with Muscle Shoals on this one.
Muscle Shoals pretty strong.
Yeah.
Jason.
Going the same way, Muscle Shoals.
Right. Muscle Shoals. I think all three of us are in agreement with Muscle Shoals there. Cold Spring, Fairview. We'll do Fairview. Fairview is on the road to West Morgan. On the road, West Morgan.
I'll say West Morgan.
West Morgan. Wesley, West Morgan. Jason.
I want to drive up to Morgan County, too. West Morgan.
West Morgan. All right. I think I'm going to go opposite of you guys. I'm going Fairview. Okay. Cold Springs. They play Winston.
Hey, before we get to our last pick, can I get one of those heads to put on like they do on
ESPN? Like Lee Corso?
Yeah.
I hope you don't use the language he used on one
particular. Yeah, I heard that.
I saw it live. All right, Cold Springs. They will be playing Winston County at home.
Give me Cold Springs.
Cold Springs. Jason.
Springs.
Cold Springs for you too, and I'm going to stay with you, and I will also say Cold Springs. So, all right, there are the high school picks for this week, and thanks again there for Wesley being our guest picker. And Jason, we're going to do our college picks, and then Jay might let us wind this up a minute or two early.
All right, we can do it. We don't need the point spread on those last two.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to have to start this one because Wesley started the other.
Okay.
So you
am I just
one.
Picking a winner, or am I picking score or two, or what?
Let's get a score out on these.
All right, scores on these. All right.
All right. Starting one we don't know a whole lot about. Iowa minus -5 at Indiana.
Iowa minus -5 at Indiana. I'm going Iowa 28-17.
28-17, Wesley?
Yep.
Yeah, give me Iowa, and give me a score of 31-24.
And, oh, I just draw myself out of that one.
You don't need to play.
I hate to agree with you, but I'm going to go the same way, uh-huh. but I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to go Iowa 20-13.
All right. Speaking of it, is there's some game, there's a couple games on tonight, I think, isn't there?
There is.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll look at it while we're doing it. All right. Nebraska at Northwestern. Northwestern, a 4.5-point favorite.
Am I first or?
You're first.
Okay. I'm going Northwestern. Nebraska hadn't won a game yet, so. Northwestern wins. I think it's low scoring, 14-10.
They're at Northwestern.
At Northwestern.
Yeah.
I want to say Nebraska gets over the hump, but no, give me Northwestern with a score of 28-24.
Would you ever thought Nebraska would not have won a game so far this year?
No, I wouldn't have.
I would have never put out a thought that.
Wouldn't have.
Hey, tonight, both games starting at 6:30. Texas Tech at TCU. That might be
pretty good there.
Georgia Southern at Texas State. That'll be a real good one.
I hope. Yeah. I wish that would come on about 9:00 where I could stay up half a night watching that one.
All right, I'm going to go with Northwestern in this one also. 24-23.
All right. Ooh.
Florida at Vandy. Florida a 7-point favorite.
I'm all over Florida. And I'll say it again. I think Florida will be the next.
Every time he says the word Florida,
this is what I say. They will be the next challenger to Alabama. I think Dan Mullen is going to be that.
Give us a score,
okay,
Mr. Mullins.
All right, the score. Where are they playing?
At Vandy.
Won't matter. 31-3.
Oh God!
What about that? You think I'm on Florida?
What
about that?
You know, traditionally, Florida struggled at Vandy. All the Spurrier's teams did. But, yeah, give me Florida. I agree with Ronnie on this. They're going to be the next big thing to Alabama and the SEC.
I think you're right.
Give me 34-14.
34-14. All right. I'm going to go with the Gators also, but I think it's going to be closer. I'm going to say the Gators 20, Vandy 13.
You think it's going to be that close?
Yep. Hey, I'm right on the point spread. Didn't even notice it, but I'm right on it.
Hey, no way.
Duke playing at Georgia Tech. The Ramblin' Wreck is a 2.5-point favorite.
Well, I'm going with Georgia Tech after what they did last week. So I think they win 24-21.
Ball control wins at 27-20, Georgia Tech.
Good pick.
All right, I'm going to go with the Blue Devils. They are a man from Vegas.
Well, you're right.
He said that was the pick this week.
You're right.
So I'm going to go with Duke, and it's going to be 23-17.
All right.
Michigan State at Penn State. Penn State 13.5-point favorite.
What's the spread?
13.5. Seemed like too much to me, but
that is too much. I'm going Penn State to win anyway. So, but I don't think it'd be that much. 31-28.
Give me Penn State big. 37-17.
All right, and I'm going with Penn State also 27-13.
Okay.
Man, I like that 13. I've got 13 in it.
Lucky number for you, big boy.
Texas, and I got married on the 13th. That goes the unlucky part.
Was it Friday?
That's unlucky for her.
It was lucky for Kathy. Texas A&M at South Carolina. South Carolina, 2.5-point favorite.
I'm going Texas A&M. I think they beat South Carolina. I think it'll be close. 27-25.
I'll take South Carolina. Give me South Carolina 28-23.
All right. And after South Carolina made me lose my money last week, I'm going to go on Texas A&M just because of that. I'm going to say 30-28.
Okay.
Georgia -7.5 at LSU.
I know it doesn't make any difference about our pick, but that number seems really high to me, 7.5. You know what? I'm going LSU to win.
Go for it.
I think I'm going to go. They're at home, I believe, even though it's a 2:30 game. I'm taking LSU. 27-26.
Yeah, I'm like Ronnie. I think that number's too high, but yeah. I do think LSU at home. It would help them if it was a night game.
I agree.
But I think this is 2:30 CBS.
It
give
is.
Me LSU straight up. 31-20.
Georgia's been kind of suspect. You know, they haven't been that dominant.
They can run the ball. That's yep. LSU's defensive strength. They're stopping the run, that's and right. they're going to make Fromm throw it. I don't know if he can.
I agree. They're good defensively.
I told y'all Georgia would lose one before
you did.
The end of the regular
this
season.
This could be it.
But I don't think this is going to be it.
You don't.
It may be, but I don't know if it is.
You just don't.
I'm gonna,
in other words, you're picking.
I'm going to pick Georgia, and that way, either
spread?
Way, I'm right.
Do they pick? Did they cover the spread?
Oh yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Watch this, Georgia. Ooh, I think LSU's a pretender. Georgia 27, LSU 17.
27-17, 10 points.
All right, Auburn at home. Tennessee is a 15-point dog.
All right. I think that number's way too high, too. I'm taking Tennessee to win. And at the Plains. I'm taking Tennessee.
You wouldn't want to do a little side wager on that and go outside, would you?
We'll talk about it.
Look, they've got to win.
They're 0-11. Mm. So they got to win the conference game sometime. It might as well be this week. I'm taking Tennessee 24-20.
You know, I'm a Bama fan, so I'm a winner and a loser in both sense here. One team's going to win, one team's going to lose. But give me Auburn. I think Auburn's too much for Tennessee. Let's make it a 28-10 game.
You think that spread's too big, either one of you?
I do.
I do too, Wes. I think that's too high.
But I think Auburn breaks through and scores some points.
I think Auburn's going to rattle.
You think so?
I think they'll be on track finally this week. Tennessee defense terrible.
Well,
Auburn 34. Ooh, I'm putting that on Tennessee. Auburn 34, Tennessee 14. All right, Alabama. Who does Alabama play? I don't even know who they play this week.
Missouri.
That's right. We just talked about that.
Alabama, Missouri.
At Missouri?
Nope, in Tuscaloosa.
All right, Missouri.
I think they're
27.5 points.
Alabama wins the football game. I'm going to say they 27.5. God, that's a lot of points.
Alabama
did they cover?
Alabama
did they cover it last week?
It was a push.
It was.
Well, it's cool when you bought it.
Okay.
Some got 35, and I got 34, so I pushed. But.
Okay, you know all the correct lingo, don't
yeah.
you? But for entertainment, entertainment purposes only. Alabama wins the ball game. I'm going to say they don't cover. So I'm going 50.
Really, this is not heart surgery.
Well, I'm saying they're going to cover, so I'm trying to stay within that. 50-25.
All right.
Alabama wins and covers 55-24.
All right.
I'll call you out, Ronnie. Only 50?
Only 50. Only 50.
I agree with Wesley. Alabama, I think, will cover it. But I don't think Missouri will score that many. 52-17.
It ain't heart surgery.
52-17.
They are our picks. You can go to the bank with those, son, because that's money in the bank.
Oh,
for
yeah.
You. Ain't no question
there
to it.
There's no doubt about
that's
it.
That's right. Hey, we're about out of here. Wesley, thanks for staying. Thanks for making the picks. Please tell us one more time when the tournament is.
October 20th from Safe Daylight till 3 p.m. at the Smith Lake Dam. Look forward to seeing everybody there.
Fantastic. Folks, turn out. If you don't fish, get a hold of Wesley or Rex and just make a donation because it goes to certainly a worthy cause.
Thank you, Ryan.
Wesley, thank you so much, bud. All right. That's another week down.
Time to wrap it up and go scream some more Eagle or Roll Tide or Go Volunteers or something.
Or UAB Blazers.
Yeah, hey, that might be the team.
That may be.
I may swap over to them this year.
All right. That's all we got.
All right. We're going to see you next week, folks. Thanks for joining us. And until we're back, War Eagle.
And a great big old Roll Tide from me and Wesley.
That's stay right. safe. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Many Floridians making their way home after spending a couple of days here in Alabama. After Hurricane Michael made landfall near Mexico Beach in the Panhandle with winds of 150 miles per hour. David Clark, president and CEO of Visit Mobile, tells AL.com there is some availability.